After 75 years of Indian democracy, a maturity has come. Remain wedded to that. Bharat's time has arrived. Every country in the world wants to invest in India. We all want good relations with America, with England. But colonial mindset has to be outgrown. India is a fine place to do business. India is a fine place to do research. Indian lady scientists have ensured landing on the moon. When a fruit seller, when a vegetable vendor, when a cart puller, all are going for digital payment, this shows the shining success of Digital India.
Hello and welcome. My name is Anupam Kher. In our ever-changing world, the focus today more than ever is on India, Bharat. And tonight we are discussing our great nation with a very special guest. He's a member of parliament and former minister for electronics and information and technology and law and justice. Welcome, Ravi Shankar Prasad.
Ravi Shankar Prasad is a seasoned Indian politician, lawyer and senior member of the ruling BJP party. His father was also a prominent lawyer and politician. Ravi Shankar Prasad has represented high-profile clients and government bodies, and his legal career includes several landmark cases. As a politician, he's held numerous key positions in the Indian government, including three ministerial posts, and has also served as a member of both houses of the Indian Parliament.
Bahut-bahut swagat. Welcome to the show, sir. Thank you very much. Your father was a prominent lawyer, and he was also the member of Bharatiya Jan Sangh. How much has that influenced your choice of career?
First of all, my pleasure and privilege to talk to you on Let's Talk Bharat with Anupam Kher, a giant of our country, globally recognized. My respect and regard to you.
Thank you, sir.
And that too on Russia Today.
Enough.
Therefore, the local becoming global, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yes, my father came up with very hard work.
Okay.
Very humble beginning, rose to become a good lawyer, well-known lawyer, gave her education. I rarely talk about him, but since today you are talking about him, he passed away in 1994. He was the founder of Jan Sangh in Bihar.
Okay.
One of the original members, was the president for 10 years. And what is important, Anupam ji, to begin your life with an ideology and leave the world in the same ideology.
That's amazing.
That's very important. And I have seen hard times of my father. And from those period of struggle, the party came up.
Right.
Today, what it is. Those are very moving days. I have my great regard for my father. He nursed in me certain values in life. And he also conveyed to me in very unmistakable terms, if you are in a party with an ideology, remain wedded to that, regardless of ups and downs. A party of nationalism, which is BJP, to make Bharat a robust country.
Right.
To have that vision always. So that's what he has trained me about. And I was an activist for my student life, Anupam ji, but he used to tell me one thing very clearly. Do whatever you like, but don't compromise on your studies. And that I also did.
Yes. Yes. You at one point held three ministerial positions at once. How much pressure was that?
I'm grateful to Prime Minister Modi ji for having trusted me.
Right.
In the tenure of Atal Bihari Vajpayee also, I served as an information broadcasting minister, where we worked together.
Absolutely. It was
Censor Board Chairman Anupam Kher ji.
Yes, yes.
Who set right many wrongs there.
You have been very kind to me always.
Then law minister. But this time, yes, Modi ji trusted me with information technology, law and justice and also communication. But what is more important is, Modi ji's vision, your viewers need to know.
Absolutely, please.
When he became the face of the party in 2014, he coined an expression. If I'm elected as Prime Minister, I'll try to create an India where IT plus IT is equal to IT. IT, India's talent, plus IT, information technology, is equal to IT, India tomorrow. And I'm very privileged, Anupam ji, that this vision he gave to me to put on the ground.
Prime Minister Modi has done a lot to reform India's legal system also. What are the big issues that remain? I'm sure there are a lot of issues.
First of all, I must tell you what he has done.
Okay.
The goods and services tax is there. The bankruptcy code is there. Nearly 1,500 old laws have been repealed of the British era.
Absolutely.
Lots of filling of forms, etc., have become completely straightened and simpler. But the biggest reform is digitization of the judiciary of India. Today, you can argue a case from anywhere in the world. Indian lawyers argue even from abroad. A singular achievement of India judiciary under Prime Minister Modi is judicial data grid. Where nearly 20 crore cases pending all over the country are available at the click of a button. Triple talaq, a bane of...
That was, yes. Know,
that was all removed. PM has stood very firmly. Filling up the vacancy, infrastructure for judges. Remember one thing, Anupamji, is very important. India is a democracy governed by rule of law. How the case will be heard will be decided by the judiciary. The job of the government ministry of law is to facilitate infrastructure, improve the law, framework of law like arbitration, etc. So that India's justice delivery system becomes more and more robust. The lot has been done. A lot is required to be done. It is a work in progress.
But do you think it will happen? You said yourself there are so many cases which are going on. They are available on digital platform. But what about the system justice delivered?
Yes. Technology will have to be included into that. For instance, traffic rule violations. Now everything is digital. Millions of cases are being disposed of digitally. This whole check bouncing cases, there's a new area, you pay, go. You don't pay, go to jail, you know. Matrimonial dispute, mediation, conciliation, all these things are there. Some commercial disputes, they have been fast-tracked. Now, Indian arbitration system is also being fast-tracked so that a lot of cases can be decided by arbitration. All these things are going together, but never forget one thing. India, even a common person goes to court. I will take you to the court. If I have wrongly transferred, if my copyright is violated. Therefore, large number of cases are being disposed of. Equally good number of cases are being filed. It all goes together.
And the government has been replacing colonial era laws. But have we outgrown colonial mentality, you think so?
You raised a very good question. Therefore, Bharat is important.
Yes.
I repeat, Bharat is important. We all want good relations with America, with England. But colonial mindset has to be outgrown. And the latest three law.
Yes, which have been.
Bharatiya Nyaya Sanghita, Bharatiya Saksha Sanghita. You remember one thing very interesting? Today I would like to share it here. I also said that in the parliament. Indian Penal Code came in 1862. Evidence Act around the same time. And after some years, Indian Criminal Procedure Code. Their penal code. The emphasis was penalty. Here, Nyaya Sanghita.
That's right.
On justice. Nyaya means justice. And second, Macaulay said we must have Indians who are in brown color but British by heart. And kindly recall, Anupamji, all the major universities of India were established around the same year when all these codes came into being.
Calcutta
University, Madras University, Bombay University, Allahabad University, Patna University, all around 1852, 1880, 95. And from there, let Brown Sahibs come. But it's a great honor for us. It also gave us Vivekananda, Arvind Ghosh, Subhash Chandra Bose, Mahatma Gandhi, Dr. Rajendra Prasad. Today, let me take this opportunity to tell you one thing. Dr. Rajendra Prasad was the first president of India. He hailed from my state. He stood first in matriculation from the Bengal board.
Amazing.
Anupamji, that means he stood first in the present state of Bihar, of Jharkhand, of Odisha, of Bengal, of Bangladesh and also Assam. That was the writ of Bengal board. Therefore, through these educations, Indian leaders in the freedom movement emerged and became a big leader. And we have to free the country from the colonial rule. This legacy of India needs to be recalled with pride. And I would say that the manner in which these colonial laws are being changed is also an indication we, from the Bharat, must determine our own legal identity also.
One of your biggest wins as law minister was the so-called triple talaq bill. How much pressure you were under?
A lot of pressure.
Because I used to watch the parliaments.
A lot of pressure. Many victim women had filed their case in the Supreme Court of India. And the earlier government did not even file a response to it. When I became the law minister, they said, ki, you have to file the reply. Tell me, what is your instruction? I went to Prime Minister. He said, go stand firmly in the court and outside behind the these victims of triple talaq. And when I was doing my research, Anupamji, I was amazed. If the bread is not properly baked, talaq, talaq, talaq. If a wife gets up late, talaq, talaq, talaq. A young woman wife went to hear the speech of Narendra Modi in UP, came back, talaq, talaq, talaq. Her husband was in Dubai. The moment the third daughter was born, on the WhatsApp, talaq, talaq, talaq. What is this? Such inhuman practice was being allowed to continue because of vote bank politics. Even in Pakistan and Bangladesh, from Jordan to Afghanistan to Malaysia, it has been curtailed. Here not. I'm very happy that the PM gave me full authority and the woman also came into support. And today it has been annulled. This has led to a lot of decline in the number of triple talaq.
It has?
Yes, yes.
So because that's important.
You will feel criminal prosecution also. Your wife can drag you to the court.
But will they do that? Will anybody does that? Has anybody...
A lot of cases have been filed.
Yeah.
A deterrent is there. And the so-called conservative elements of the Muslim community were dead against it. But ultimately we stood firm.
But there were other political parties also which
all
were
of them.
Against it. Why do you think they were against it? Means
vote bank politics. What else? From Shah Bano to Saira Bano. And I will not name them, but many women leaders of their political party also opposed it. Why? That shows the vice-like grip of the conservative elements. And when I used to talk to them, ki even in the Quran Sharif as interpreted by many leading scholars, it was never permitted. But I'm happy we could do it. I'm very happy we could do it.
Now, let's talk about Digital India. You were very involved in as a minister. What do you think you have been the most important result so far?
What is Digital India, Anupamji? I gave a very simple definition. Digital India is designed to empower ordinary Indians with the power of technology and lead to digital inclusion, bridging the digital divide. Digital haves and digital have-nots. Now, see how we could do it. And this must be achieved through technology which is homegrown, economical. Aadhaar, made in India. Aadhaar is a digital identity. We supplement the physical identity. I can change my name. I can have a plastic surgery. But my fingerprint and iris will remain the same. Aadhaar card captures that. Okay? That is the confirmation of identity. In India today, we have got nearly 135 crores Aadhaar card. Then we have got nearly 900 million smartphones in India, more than what the population of Europe and America is. The biggest achievement of mine, Anupam ji, is to see young people in villages. Ravi uncle, we also do Googling, we also do searches, playing on the video. Data was became cheaper. Even ordinary poor people, sir, kindly send a WhatsApp message. Kindly send a video message. Sir, would you mind talking to me on a video call? This is the emerging empowerment of ordinary Indians. And the biggest achievement of Digital India was when Corona came. Education in school, digitally. Hearing in the courts, digitally. And one thing you might recall, when Corona came, where you will get the vaccine, first vaccine, second, all was being delivered on your mobile.
That's right. I can understand triple talaq being opposed by the opposition, but I remember an opposition now, a very big leader of the opposition party in parliament said, digital, digital, what is this digital, digital? Do you think a Shabziwala vendor will sort of talk about digital? And now...
I was just going to tell you that. Digital payment, India has become a big leader.
Yeah. So why do you think they opposed it? Weren't they interested?
Opposition for the sake of opposition.
It's just like this.
Many opposition leaders said, we will not take the vaccine made in India.
I remember that, yes.
And ultimately, They used it, na?
Yes.
Therefore, I don't want to comment on them, but they have seen the benefit of digitization. And India, what is the real progress of India under Narendra Modi is, Narendra Modi ji is, bringing out digitization from elite environment and making it available to the common people. That even a vendor is using digital payment.
Yes, of course.
Even a rickshawala enjoying his mobile smartphone, getting information. Even a fruit seller getting what is the position. So this is a great result which we have been able to achieve. I am very proud of the Prime Minister and I am very proud of Indian people. How will ordinary people accept technology? They have not only accepted technology, they are enjoying it and they are relishing it.
And they are getting empowered.
Empowered.
Yeah.
That is digital India.
Yes.
As I said, designed to empower ordinary Indians. When a fruit seller, when a vegetable vendor, when a cart puller, all are going for digital payment, this shows the shining success of digital India.
That brings me to the question now, which is the most important thing that's being talked about is, why is uniform civil code important? What will it benefit? How will it benefit the society?
How I see uniform civil code? How you came in this world will be your personal rights and obligations. How you will depart from this world would be your personal rights and obligation. Some will be sent on the pyre, some will go
buried.
How you will get married, again your personal right. But the rest other rights, inheritance, transfer of property, partition of property. And let us see the practical part of it. Today, if a criminal is arrested, does he say that treat me in my personal law, criminal law? Because the personal law prescribes very heavy punishment in case of theft, chopping of the hand. Indian Penal Code, now the Bharatiya Nyaya Sanghita will be there. If you do a murder, you don't go to a personal law. If you're entering into a contract, the Indian Contract Act. If you're transferring property in Delhi or in Hyderabad, Transfer of Property Act. So in many cases, common law is there. You show constitution book every day. What is constitution? Applicable to all. Therefore, in many cases, one law is governing the entire country. Uniform civil code is what? Basically, codification of one law whereby a commonality of interest develops in the country that this law will govern me. Namely, govern Bharatiya without discrimination. However, the personal laws which are really personal, what is the ceremony when you are born? What are the rituals when you die? And what are the festivities when you are getting married? Will remain personal to you. This is how, in very simple term. And therefore, many states are already going ahead, like Uttarakhand, like Assam. Many will follow also. This is how this is going to. And if there is a very compelling case of some communities to be left out, like tribal, etc., that can be considered.
Your tenure as the Union Minister for Law and Justice saw a frequent friction between the executive and the judiciary. So is that helpful or should there be more agreement between the two?
No, there is no question of friction.
No.
You can say difference of opinion on certain issues. And what is there? Let me put it very simply. What shall be the judgment? How a case will be heard is entirely the domain of the judiciary. The government should not interfere at all. As far as appointment is concerned, even the Supreme Court CJ has said it is basically a common stakeholder discussion between the government and the judiciary. And thirdly, which is very important, there is a notion of separation of power, executive, judiciary, and legislature. Executive must govern by being accountable to the parliament or the state legislature. The legislature must frame the law. Governance must be done by the executive. And judiciary, as I said, the right to declare any law or any action arbitrary. This leads to at times some friction. But there is an inner mechanism of course correction. And this is how ultimately things settle. Therefore, I am very happy that after 75 years of Indian democracy, a maturity has come between judiciary and the executive. And when I say so, Anupam ji, 50 years of emergency are there. Judges used to be superseded. Judges used to be transferred whimsically.
Judgments used to be changed. Judgments.
Yes.
Absolutely. So how do you see India's evolution on the global stage under Modi 3.0?
Bharat's time has arrived. This is India's time. This is Bharat's time. And what Narendra Modi ji has done, he has leveraged the inherent power of India on the global stage. Let me give you instances. India had only two mobile factories in 2014. I was also Minister of Electronics. Now India has more than 270 mobile factories. All the brands from Apple to Samsung are being manufactured in India and globally being exported. 99% of mobiles in India are coming, being made in India. We made the vaccine, which is globally being appreciated for Corona. In an automobile industry, now in the second in the world in terms of manufacturing. India's roads, highway are second to none. In a startup ecosystem, hardly few hundred, now it is more than 100,000. And out of which 100 are unicorn. Unicorn means $1 billion your worth. All young people. What Modi ji has done has been able to showcase India. India is a fine place to do business. India is a fine place to do research. India is a Indian lady scientists have ensured landing on the moon. You have seen that.
Absolutely.
Therefore, this every country in the world want to invest in India. India has the highest investment in technology, highest investment in infrastructure. All the big giants are coming to India. We're going to make the chips also. Why the world is coming to India? Because India is worth, Bharat is worth, gives good return on the investment. Why person like Anupam Kher are being globally feted in the field of creativity? Because India's content sells. Therefore, the variety of ways I was just telling you. Narendra Modi ji did what? He showed the vision, developed the confidence in ordinary Indians. You can do. We Indians can do.
Absolutely.
And that is the message of 10 years. And this is going to be irreversible also in Modi 3. This is how I see it.
Thank you, Ravi Shankar Prasadji. Thank you very much. And thank you for watching. Join me again next week as we uncover new layers to the great nation of India. And let's talk Bharat. Jai Hind.